Welcome to episode 230 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. In this week's show, you join me on location, as I scout a site for a forthcoming photo shoot in conjunction with Volkswagen and my good friend, musician Tom Kent. With a lot to think about, it's important, of course, to get a head start in order to address multiple considerations, from vehicle access and lighting setups, through to any health and safety aspects which might arise. So welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 230.
It's just after 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, and I am scouting a location for a shot that I want to produce with my good friend Tom. Tom, say hello.
Hello.
There you go. Tom is a musician and video producer, specifically within the car world. Let's give a quick shout out for your YouTube channel.
My YouTube channel is literally YouTube/ Tom Kent Music.
There you go. And you can check out what he's about and what he does. So here's the background to the reason we're here. A few days ago, Tom gives me a call, sends me a text saying that he has got a VW...
Amarok
4x4 coming for review. He's got it for a few days or for a week or so. And it could be kind of cool to set up a shoot and see what we can do. So we are stood... not really in the middle of a field. We're in the middle of a woodland, but it's very open. The woodland is either side, and straight in front of me there is a big lake, and it's really lovely. And just behind me there's these foundations from an old building. Now, those of you that remember me talking, oh gosh, it's got to be something like 5 years ago, I think. Remember me talking about working with a guy who's a trials bike rider, and he's sort of jumping around off steps and all that sort of thing. Does that ring any bells? This is the same location. This guy called Ewan, and we touched base with him yesterday, actually. Tom and I sat down, very nice actually, in a pub with a log fire and a couple of coffees. And we sat down and sort of tried to work through some of the details about what we want to do, the sort of shot. And the Amarok has got like a flatbed, a drop tailgate.
Yeah, well, it's a pickup truck.
There's room there to put bikes in there. We talked about sort of maybe putting a tent or having someone there on like a mat with a coffee or a lamp or all this sort of thing. So kind of an outdoor theme. But of course, that's great. But you need to suit location to the vehicle. And we were talking about the sort of photography we wanted to produce and the sort of photography we didn't, and the sort of pictures which we kind of want to avoid are the ones that look like advertising shots in the very obvious sense. We were looking at the VW website, and they're very typical, very nice, but very typical. So what we're doing here, apart from freezing our toes off because there's frost everywhere and it's only been around about 3 degrees or something this morning. I don't think it's very hot or very warm. We're just having a walk around to scope out a few potential angles and some of the considerations. So I thought it might be interesting for you to kind of hear that process, because I often take you on these trips. In terms of camera, I've got a really simple setup today because they're only just location shots. I've got my D800 with a 24-70. It's all handheld. It's a nice bright morning, blue sky, all the rest of it. Would be lovely for a shoot today, wouldn't it?
It would be great.
It would be nice. It's a lady walking around with her child who's just about to go into meltdown from the sounds of things. Okay, Tom, what we'll do, we'll go up these steps here and we'll start from the top, because the first thing we need to think about is getting access. Now, there's no guarantee, unfortunately, that we'll definitely be able to do this shoot. Like I say, they were very accommodating previously, but you know, you just have to be professional and you have to kind of come up with your ideas, have a solid background to what you want to do. The issue, I think, is going to be access with a vehicle, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the point of view of where this is, it's on a long kind of sloping hill. We're at the top, goes down to a lake, and while there's some access for vehicles, I know their concern is going to be, it's cold and it's wet. And what happens if you dig up all of our lovely terrain?
Mm. And we're saying, I mean, no exaggeration, we're going to have to bring the car in at like 2 miles an hour, like an absolute creeping along, if that.
Yeah, just to make sure. I mean, while there is very little chance of it slipping and sliding down the hill, I've got to take into the factor, if it does, I don't want to have to call Volkswagen and say, sorry, just written your £40,000 4x4 off.
Yeah, and yeah, that's a good point. When it comes to insurance, you know, I'm all insured, Tom's all insured. The vehicles are supplied on a certain understanding. I gather they've said they don't want it back pristine. They don't want it even with the fuel topped up.
They tend to have quite an open mind of how it comes back, but if it comes with scratches, they're not going to be too happy.
And this is a good point. So we thought, right, maybe get Ewan involved because he's nuts, he loves his bike, he loves jumping around, and that's brilliant, looks great in the pictures, you know. But the concern, fair point, with Volkswagen wanting, the concern with them is, are you likely to put a dent in the side of our lovely brand new car?
Yeah.
And it could happen if he gets it wrong.
Yeah, well, that's where the risk assessment of what shot we'll be doing, how it comes into it, because if, for instance, he jumped off something and landed straight in the side of it, I don't think that is an acceptable scratch versus maybe a scratch down the side from a tree is.
Yeah, yeah, because if it's access down a, you know, if you say, oh, we're going to get these lovely shots down this sort of woodland track, and we've talked about this yesterday, that's fair enough. You could just sort of like T-cut them out or, you know, do whatever. It's a similar time of year to when I was here with Ewan once before. And, you know, even now at this hour of the day, it's, you know, the frost is still here in the shadows. It's damp, it's slippery. So we have to kind of be aware. And I remember saying to Ewan at the time, he said, oh, I want to do this, I want to jump off here. I was like, well, are you absolutely sure? I don't doubt your ability, but bear in mind, if your tyre slips, you know. So what we're thinking is we're going to kind of hedge our bets a little bit. We're going to think about angles that are a bit more dynamic, maybe think about the lighting. And one of the things that we were thinking we might like to do is maybe rather than work with flash, maybe think about light painting or using constant light sources. So Tom and I, although I didn't do a podcast, which pains me greatly, but we didn't have the opportunity, Tom wanted to practice a little bit of light painting. So the other day we went down to the water and we did some nighttime stuff there, or late afternoon, early evening. It was very nice. So similar techniques, and I can talk through this. I will do a separate recording about light painting. But again, just sort of crafting the light around the car, around Ewan. And so I need to kind of get a sense of how this is going to work. So we've come up these steps. It's two flights of steps, because this is actually the foundations of an old house, like country house that was here. And so from up here, there's nothing really that we immediately are thinking we want to do, because otherwise it would just be, here's your car, here's a person stood there. Okay, there's a lake in the background, but there's no real context, there's no real dynamic to it. The great thing that we have here is the brickwork of, the foundations here, the walls are here, the pillars are still here. There's actually a really nice like colonnade sort of running the whole width of this. You may have seen shots of guys riding up a wall and all this sort of thing on their bikes, that some stuff I did previously. So from up here, it's worth having a look, thinking about the lighting and all the rest of it. But there's not really anything that we can do up here. So my thoughts are, just going back to what Tom and I said yesterday about angles, and that point that we discussed, Tom, about not having, like, here's the car sort of straight on or at three quarters, yeah, with the wheels sort of turned like you see in so many shots. I want to see how we can play, maybe looking from above or what have you. So if we just walk along the top here, we've got really good access. There's a railing along the top here, which is kind of new since I was sort of last doing any shots here. Bear in mind that we're thinking that maybe if we're able to do it in later afternoon, so that the light levels are low, so that we can do the light painting. Where we are at the moment, the light is kind of sort of in the wrong place for where it'll be. It will have moved around and be striking towards this scene. So as I look down on the ground, it'll be sort of in front of me at sort of 11 o'clock-ish, yep, sort of on that angle. But I have to think about how I might be able to, you know, see even now. I don't know if you can hear this. the wall is proper slippery.
Nice and mossy.
It is mossy and it's very damp. I'd have to sort of lean over, which is fine. I just have to watch myself on there. Maybe I don't need to do any shots now, but see, that's not giving the absolute overhead shot that we kind of had in mind, because what I hadn't remembered was where you've got those sort of support columns for the underpass bit, the passageway, they actually stick out about 2 foot. Yep. So you can't actually get the car right up to there. That said, it wouldn't necessarily be a deal breaker, would it? Because you could still have the car there and that would just be a bit of a feature, maybe.
You could definitely make it work.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's an option. It's always much better to have too many ideas, of course. And this is all assuming that we get the access.
Yeah,
if not, it's just another nice podcast recording talking about location scouting. Whilst we're up here, we've got a view across to the sort of the lower flight of stairs, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 steps. Again, you know, I can only go by visualizing what I think the size of the vehicle is, like, generally, because I haven't seen this one with their exact dimensions. I'm not sure from this angle that it would necessarily work. I mean, my first thoughts are you could have Ewan sat on the step and his bike propped up. So we don't need to get him necessarily for all the shots, jumping and walking across, going across the wall and all the rest of it, especially if it's this slippery. I wouldn't let him go on this if it was this slippery, because there just won't be the grip on his tyres. There's a guy who's running or trying to run down the hill here in shorts and a t-shirt. He must be mad.
It's 3 degrees.
Oh well, each to their own. So that might work, but there was a shot if we go down the steps and across to the other side, because the steps kind of you know, there's a flight of them goes to the left and a flight that goes to the right. One of the shots that I kind of had in mind is just down here. We talked about whether we actually shoot at ground level straight on at the vehicle. There's space here that we'd be able to park it up. There's plenty of space, and right next to these steps here. And just thinking, the light isn't going to be an issue because it'll be around the other side, like what is now. I'm looking the other way, so it'll be over my right shoulder. If it's drawn into this space here, immediately in front of us, facing this passage, we've got the steps to the right. And you get Ewan sat there with his bike propped up. Again, those are just like portrait shots.
Yep.
You could also, if you wanted, draw back a bit and back the car up towards those steps and have him maybe sat on the side panel in the truck. You know, it's one of those things that these are just very rough ideas at the moment, and it's a case of seeing how they work on the day, because there's all sorts of things. You know, it's a little bit, it's not squelchy underfoot, but it's obviously a bit damp. And what you don't want to be doing is driving a car around more than you have to, because it's going to start to leave tracks. And I certainly don't want to do all the Photoshop that would be required to clone out all the, you know, tyre tracks and all that sort of thing. As Tom, as you said before, it's a shame we can't actually go into that passage there with the car.
Yeah, it's got a very cool, if you look from inside the passage, it's kind of a long tunnel-esque look.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think only an original Mini Cooper would get through the gap. I'm not sure a 3-ton Amarok will.
Well, I mean, if we just sort of have a little walk under here, and you might hear that it gets a bit echoey. I don't know. Bup, bup, bup. A little bit. There we go. See, this is really nice. I remember doing a shot of a friend of ours, Andy, when he and Ewan came to do those bike shots, shooting from that far end down, and he was just at the end there with the bare bulb, harsh flashlight. It's a really nice long lens portrait. If you could have the vehicle just lined up and Ewan in front of it, it'd be incredible. But, you know,
have to take a pillar out to do that.
You'd have to take a pillar out. One thing that could possibly work is looking out from here towards the vehicle. Yeah. And so the vehicle would be partially obscured. I'd have to light up the roof and the columns here because they'd just be far too dark. But that's okay. That's not an issue. And also, if we are talking about light painting or using floodlights, I've actually just been looking at some Pelly lights. A lot of you know that I use Pelly cases, but did you know they also produce lighting, like constant light, for people that work in engineering or work on the railways, all that sort of thing? And they're sort of like anywhere from sort of 1,000 up to 50 something lumens or something. They do all sorts of different different ones. Those would work really nicely. But what we've got with the with the brickwork here, it's a nice red brick, sort of chalky in some places and a bit mossy in others. Not too much graffiti. I would imagine if there was any graffiti there, and we showed those pictures, Volkswagen from their end would say they're really nice, but
too grungy.
Too grungy. Take that graffiti out. So, I mean, here there's a nice shot where you've got the side of the that staircase coming down. You've got like a natural frame where the arch comes across. There is room, if we sort of step back a little bit, there's room to have the car just in this space, like in front. That could work. Let's go to the other end and see what's going on here. I really hope they say yes.
Because it would be, yeah.
I mean, hopefully it's one of those things that you kind of, yeah, you proved myself the last time, so hopefully that stands for something. But it's interesting, isn't it? This side is essentially identical, but it doesn't quite have the same. It's too open, isn't it?
Yeah. There's not enough context to that. That would just be here's a pillar and here's a lot of open space.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting how you can, you know, take a location and where you think everything is kind of like duplicated. I mean, we can kind of go back to a very similar angle from here, but then the trouble is you've got a hill, like a bank, just in the near distance, and then trees behind. It's almost a bit
too closed in.
It's like, what's the expression? You want a moon on a stick? Something like that. You know, you want everything just perfect, and you can't always get it. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, the other side has just enough.
It's good because also from this angle where we'd be shooting from is depending on the height that you shoot, and it might be that we sort of like drop it down the camera angle a little bit to raise the car up a bit, you then have it more in a profile against the not the skyline, but you're cutting out the view of the lake, which you wouldn't really see anyway because it's too far. And also if we're talking about maybe between sort of 3, 4, half four in the late afternoon, it's going to be getting
too dark.
Too dark, you wouldn't see it anyway. That's a very good point worth bearing in mind. If you are using flash guns, bear in mind that, as happened with me the last time, you always bring plenty of batteries, AA batteries. I charged them all the night before, they're fully charged. By the time I came to use the second set of batteries, they were almost worn out.
Yeah.
Like the power in them had just gone before they were ready to use, just because of, although they're in cases and everything, the damp, the cold. Cold is a killer when it comes to batteries. Keep them in your jacket pocket, close to your chest. You know, that helps. Hand warmer packs are good for that sort of thing. Same with camera batteries. You've had the similar sort of experience, I know, with when you're gigging and
many times,
all that sort of thing.
Especially when a bass goes dead just as you're going out on stage because you're playing in a very cold arena.
See, this is like out of my zone of knowledge. I was like, yeah, when you go and play, I play guitar, but not in front of 10,000 people or whatever, you know.
Yeah. They call your name wrong.
Yeah, we're having this conversation about how, you know, I don't mind. People often call me Charles, you know, because Giles is quite an unusual name. That's fine. It doesn't bother me at all. But, you know, when it's maybe in front of a stadium full of people and you'd like a tiny bit of decent recognition that's, you know, on TV or something, it's kind of... Get your name wrong. It's, you know, the promoters, the organisers should have maybe taken the time to just absolutely double check. Unless it's lost in translation abroad, maybe there's some... That's like a ready-made excuse for them, isn't that really? But
I'll have to use that in future.
Yeah. I'm just thinking. I'm looking across to the lake, and I know that there's a little bridge there, but I think it's only a footbridge. I don't think it would take It might take the weight, but I wouldn't want to risk it. I'm sure they would say, do you know what, you're not taking it.
We might be able to use it for context where the vehicle is off the bridge and you are on the bridge. But
because this goes back to, oh, crikey, is it originally Victorian times? I think.
It could very well be.
Yeah, because the site of the house here, there had previously been two houses here. This is obviously was private land. It's now an area for people to walk and go fishing and all this sort of thing. But back in the day, it was private estate and you know, it was all about going for lovely scenic walks and entertaining and all this sort of thing. And there's this lovely bridge that goes on the lake, goes onto this central island, which is, you can still go there now as a pedestrian. You can walk over it and it's lovely. But like you say, Tom, for context, for, you know, interest in the back of a shot, it's nice.
We have to go there to try and concept the shot and see if there's any angles that we could look at.
Well, shall we take a little wander down there?
Yeah.
Okay, so what we're going to do, guys, is we're going to put this on hold for a moment, try not to slide our way all the way down the hill. I think what we'll do, because there's no path...
We'll go on the gravel path.
Yeah, there's no path down the middle. We'll go for a little wander. So what we'll do is we'll get into position and we will catch up with you just as soon as we're ready to talk a little bit more. Okay, so having just stopped because the light is incredible, backlighting some mist that is, you just didn't see it from the other angle, from at the top of the slope there, but it's just coming off where the sun's coming through, just burning off the water there. We had to stop and just take a couple of shots. It was lovely. And there's also a tree, which I'm just saying to Tom, if I was a photographer that did a lot of figurative studies, there's a like this bough of this tree, if you draped a subject off that with long flowing clothes, dress, or you know, whatever, being be incredible,
like a tree bed.
Yeah, you're so poetic. So what we're going to do, we're walking along this actual path now, which is good, bit damp, bit wet. On our left immediately is this this bridge, and it's like a 1, 2, 3 arches, and it's like a very gentle gradient going up and over, a near perfect shadow today. The sun is over my left shoulder, so if we're thinking that if we did want to use this, as we've said, not having the car actually on the bridge, but just sort of around it, if that works, have to bear that in mind. So it'll be into the light. I think, you know, the light would be the other side by the time you come to do it. That's not wide enough anyway.
It's not wide enough for definitely not for a vehicle to get across.
Yeah.
But maybe for some context from another view.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I've been looking at the ground and there is some sign of vehicle access with wider tyres and an all terrain like an ATV or a quad would give. So there is potential access down here should we want it.
Because, of course, you get the rangers that come here just to, you know, tend to the land and what have you. It's a nice kind of, like, where we've just walked is kind of like a gentle sweeping corner, which could be quite nice. The trouble is, because of the size of the vehicle, that is not a really big bridge. It's like we said, it's realistically, now, give you an idea, I'm... Yeah, I was going to measure by my feet, but yeah, two people wide, basically.
And it's a lovely, lovely bridge with really nice brickwork and a great little island that would actually be perfect.
It would be perfect, wouldn't it?
I'm not sure that the Amarok's got wading decks to get across this lake.
I mean, the water itself is only a number of feet deep. Now, there would be no chance at all that you'd be able to put a car in this lake. It just wouldn't happen. Environmental concerns, all that. If we were like a commercial company that said, we will throw, £300,000 at you to let us do this, I still don't know if they would, because, you know, the wildlife and everything.
I don't think they'd want it there. However, I mean, if money wasn't an issue, I could get a long-armed crane truck on the other side to lift it over.
I think that's no issue. Yeah, but it is. So we're on the island bit now. It's, you know, it's not something that we're going to be entertaining the idea for this shot, for this shoot. But, you know, it's good to just remind yourself of a location if you're familiar with it or you haven't seen it for a while. You know, different times of the year, of course, we're in winter, it's all very bare, there's nothing really, you know, we're not into spring yet, there's nothing coming on the foliage. But, you know, it's nice to kind of, in the summer, you can do sort of long lens shots across the water onto the bridge. Someone sat there. Like I say, it's not very deep, so maybe in the summer when it's a bit warmer, I might see about trying to do some portraits, get my waders on. That could be a bit of fun, just because I like wearing waders.
Yeah, like getting your feet wet.
Yeah, you feel like you're cheating nature a bit. You kind of, I'm in the deep in the water and I'm not wet. It's sad, isn't it? But there we go. What we'll do is we'll just take a little wander around further along this track. So the bridge is over left shoulder, just behind us. The sun's really coming out nice now. But you can see that, yeah, it is, you're right. That mist is almost gone now.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, in an ideal world, you'd come here before sunrise, which I would imagine is around about 8 o'clock. Without checking, it's probably still around about 8 o'clock at the moment.
Yeah.
That's a great thing with shooting in the winter, early morning. You don't have to be up at stupid o'clock.
or stay out stupidly late.
Now, you can probably hear a bit of noise in the distance as we walk along. That is likely to be the rangers, the guys doing their work there. I don't think we necessarily need to have a chat with them today. Don't need to interrupt them, because the people that we need to be talking to, as was the case previously, was the marketing department, because this here is part of a business which has a farm for little kids to go and have a look at the pigs and the goats and rabbits and guinea pigs and all this sort of thing. So anything that is seen to be promotional, or if you want to get permission, people come here to do photography all the time. People bring their bikes here to do stuff. But Tom and I were talking about this yesterday, and I've talked about it a lot. You know, I like to see as best as I can how I can build collaborations, how I can network, how I can, if it's stuff that helps the local economy, if it's working with farmers or anything like that. So we'll just leave them sawing up the wood and whatever they're doing. And then, you know, the point today was just to get our bearings, have a look at the potential for the shot. I think it's worth having a look down this end as well, just in case. But realistically, I don't think it's there. I mean, there's a long, potentially straight ahead of us now. We've kind of done a horseshoe shape and we're looking back over the lake up towards the hill. Can't see the foundations of the building, but there's potentially a long lens shot with a vehicle parked there. That's a completely different shot. We probably wouldn't have the time to do it anyway, and this is a kind of like a one-time deal, you know. But again, all these things are just food for thought. You never know. Even if it's things like doing a shot of a trail runner, you know, anything like that.
Nice, so little bit of ice.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's because this is still in the shade, all this bit, isn't it? The ducks don't look as though they're stuck, which is good. But there we go. There's a man, I think, is probably one of the rangers. He's, I say rangers, I mean, they're just...
Park warden,
or... not maintenance, but you know, it's all much the same, I guess. So someone's going to correct me and say, oh no, a warden is not the same as a ranger. But he was just ahead of us, and he's gone at the rate of knots up there, so he's either desperate for a cup of tea, or maybe the cold is keeping him on his toes.
Maybe.
Oh, see, that's a nice shot. Just across to our left there is a lovely shot of the bridge, which I all the times I've been here, I've never noticed this. So what I'm going to do is, often I have hands free on my camera, on my microphone. Just got the camera up to my face here. F8, 30th of a second. That should be fine. Just there's absolutely no reason for this shot, other than I like it. It's a bit
nice
bright.
Angle.
Yeah. ISO 100. That's fine. And we're going to go. Just take the exposure down a little bit, down to minus a third of an f-stop, and it was at plus 0.3. Ducks on the water, giving me a 40th, oops, a 40th of a second. That's all right, isn't it?
That's a nice shot.
It's just a reference shot. It's, you know, it might be that I'm writing a feature and I think, you know, just a shot of a bridge or something could be handy. And just do a couple more. And we do a vertical one just for good measure. I'm glad I've not had a lot of caffeine today. Having to hold that like that. There we go. So, I think, you know, I think we're pretty much done. Certainly for the recording. So, what Tom and I are going to do now is, as we're on this path, we may as well just walk all the way round. Just straight up the other side, back up to the top. And so the next stage in this little process is to get some thoughts together. I'll approach the powers that be and say, I don't know if you remember, I did this shoot before, it was really went really well, da 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 da, we'd like to do this. Yeah, we're working in conjunction with Volkswagen. Oh, hang on, I'm just going to do my usual thing of having just spotted a really nice shot. There's like an old, I've never noticed this before. I think what they've done, they've cut all that foliage back on one of the islands. It's like what was a little building, probably like a, not a turret, but a bit like a folly. I think there used to be a folly there.
And I said, knowing the kind of buildings that were here and what kind of estate it was, that probably would have been somewhere to entertain guests.
Yeah, I think it's lovely.
A private island by the lake.
Yeah.
There's a boat access point over there, which has been obviously closed off for many years.
Yeah.
No,
it's lovely.
Access.
Yeah, that is lovely. So just quick shots, and because it's sort of a light brickwork, it's sort of I don't think it was painted white, but it's obviously just got weathered.
Yeah.
The sun is striking it straight away, so that is giving me a nice reflection onto this thin ice that's here. That's giving me a 250th of a second at f8. That's lovely. It's amazing how the light changes. There we go. Nothing special. Probably won't use it, but it's good to have it just in, you know, on file. Now we just negotiate our way around this rather big puddle. And just before we get as far as this gentleman that's braved the cold to go fishing, we'll wrap it up. So, Tom's already given his website. Do you want to give a shout out for your Music Motors?
Yeah, Music Motors is an automotive review show based on my YouTube channel, which looks at vehicles from a musician's point of view, which can be from loading equipment in to fuel economy to, for instance, I've got an upcoming video with the Infiniti QX70S where I'm playing a gig at the O2 Arena. So it gives a context of how you can use vehicles from a musician's point of view, which may interest you or may bore you, but you can make that decision yourself.
There we go. So, of course, there's not a direct reference to music for the shots that we were talking about with Ewan, but Tom's got this on loan for a week or so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that factor. But, you know, if you've got these things, it's a bit like being sent kit to play with. You think, oh, I'm going on holiday. Take the kit with you. Use it on holiday. You know,
course.
It's all this sort of thing. So, Tom, as ever, it's a pleasure. I always enjoy our little get-together. I think we're going to need coffee in a minute. It's,
I think so. A bit cold.
Yeah, a little bit chilly. I'm nice and toasty, but I know you feel the cold a bit more than I do sometimes. You get a beard.
I can't grow a beard. I'm a person who grows about 3 hairs on my face.
Well, what can I say? That's a great way to end a podcast, eh? So, thanks for listening, guys. As ever, if you've got any questions, anything you want clarification on, if you've got anything that you want to pose to me as a Q&A 500 where I can give you a succinct answer in 500 words, so there's no waffle, it's exactly what you want to know and nothing else, then do let me know. But for now, I will leave it there.
Be sure to keep an eye out for further updates about this shoot, as there'll be lots of behind-the-scenes content heading your way. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.